WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
What is up, Tuscaloosa, and welcome back to the student section. I'm your host, Ada McGuirk, joined by Bennett Katz, and we have a lot to talk about on what is sadly, that's not a word, sadly, our last episode with you for the Monday night student section for this year. Breaking news today, as Aaron Rodgers is traded from the Green Bay Packers to the New York Jets officially. We've been seeing this kind of way, like, being thrown around all the time. You know, we knew that Aaron Rodgers' intentions were to play for the New York Jets at some point, but it hadn't happened. There had been some disagreements on the compensation for the Packers and what they wanted to get back, but it is official. Aaron Rodgers is going to New York. The Jets will send the number 13 overall pick, the number 42nd overall pick, which is a second rounder, the number 207th overall pick, a sixth rounder, and a conditional second round pick in 2024 that can become a first rounder if Rodgers plays 65% of the plays. The Jets obviously receive Aaron Rodgers. They also get the 15th overall selection, which is the Green Bay Packers' first round pick this year, and the 170th overall selection, a fifth round pick. So the Jets do get back a first round pick, albeit two slots or two selections behind the one that they sent to the Green Bay Packers this year. And they also get back a fifth round pick this year on top of a Super Bowl winning quarterback. So Bennett, you are a Green Bay Packers fan. Tell me, what's your reaction to this news?
Yeah, I knew this day was coming, but now that it's here, I am a little sad. Aaron Rodgers is certainly one of the better talents in any quarterback in the history of the NFL. He only won one Super Bowl with us, but I've really enjoyed watching Aaron Rodgers, and so to see him leave is definitely disappointing. I definitely agree, or I kind of like the trade package as a Packers fan. I thought that the picks that we're receiving are going to be some ones that we can fill in some spots, get Jordan Love some help. I'm excited to see Jordan Love and what he can do, and I'm going to trust our general manager and see what he can do with these picks.
Yeah, obviously, if you are the Packers, kind of a bittersweet moment here because Aaron Rodgers has been with the team for so long, won a Super Bowl, multiple MVPs, a legend in the NFL, and certainly a legend for the Packers, and now he is gone. But at the same time, there had been turmoil, there had been discontent, not pleased with the front office at times, and of course, you know, the Jordan Love selection may have ruffled some feathers as well. Now, Aaron Rodgers headed to New York to play for Robert Saleh and the Jets in what might end up being the toughest division in football, the AFC North. East. Excuse me. AFC East.
Yeah, he says he's going to wear number 8, which means that Joe Namath's number will still be retired for all us Alabama fans. So he's going from 12 to 8, a number where he wore in college. But as you were saying, it is definitely, I think, the toughest division in the NFL. You look at the Dolphins with Tua and the offensive weapons that they have with Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. And then you go to the Jets. They've added so many weapons. And then you put on top of that one of the better quarterbacks in the history with Aaron Rodgers. And then you talk about the Bills. Yeah, that is definitely the toughest division. Yeah, I didn't even mention the greatest coach of all time in the NFL, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots.
Yeah, that looks to be one of the most interesting divisions in football because, like you mentioned, Tua in Miami with those weapons. Mike McDaniel did a great job with the Dolphins last year, and they pick up Jalen Ramsey off of a trade to pair with Xavier Howard. So that might be potentially the best duo in the NFL in terms of cornerbacks. And then they hired Vic Fangio, who is a brilliant defensive mind, and outside of Bill Belichick, maybe the best defensive mind in all of the NFL as their new defensive coordinator. So the Miami Dolphins certainly will be a difficult team to beat. You add Aaron Rodgers to a team that has the likes of Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Alan Lazard in free agency. They picked up Mecole Hardman in free agency, who has been with the Chiefs for the past several years. It's going to be a really good team. Also, their defense is fantastic. Top 10, top 5 defense in the NFL for the Jets. So the Jets will be a handful.
Yeah, you got Quinnen Williams and CJ Mosley on that defense,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Former Sauce Bama Gardner, guys. The defensive rookie of the year at cornerback. And they've got Quinnen Williams' brother as well. So very good defense. Now you go to the Bills. Josh Allen's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. They've had a ton of success over the past several years. They haven't quite been able to get over the hump yet, so we'll see if they can do so. Stephon Diggs, phenomenal receiver. You like what you have with the Bills. Is Von Miller still playing with the Bills, or did he has he signed with anyone?
I think he is, as far as I know.
As far as I know, Von Miller is still with the Bills, so we're going to assume that he is. But if he's not, forgive us. So, you know, you have one of the best pass rushers in maybe history for you there. So a lot of great things with the Bills. And then you look at the Patriots, who for a long time ran this division, and now they may be sitting at fourth overall in their own division, which is crazy to think about. But they hire Bill O'Brien from Alabama to go coach Mac Jones, and that offense, they have gotten better in terms of skill players and things like that. Mike Gesicki added as a tight end. Very excited for this division. I'm interested to see how it will compare against the AFC West, right? The Chiefs, obviously the Chiefs, right? Does Jimmy Garoppolo make the Raiders better? Who knows? We shall see. The Chargers with Kellen Moore now calling the offense for Justin Herbert. They project to be a very difficult team to beat. And of course, you have Sean Payton and Russell Wilson in Denver. Sean Payton, the quarterback whisperer that he is, I fully anticipate him to get Russell Wilson back on that Hall of Fame trajectory that he was on. That could be a very difficult team to beat. And so you have two divisions in the AFC that are vying for the toughest division in all of football. So we will be watching that next season. Very excited about what this means. New York Jets fans should be overjoyed, obviously. Hopefully this does not go the way it happened with Brett Favre. It's really interesting to see the parallels between Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in their career, right? So now all we need is for Aaron Rodgers to play for the Vikings in
not.
A little while. yeah, because why not? But back to the Packers, though. You have Jordan Love. And the last time we saw Jordan Love, he looked pretty good. You know, I would suggest to Green Bay Packers fans, don't freak out. Jordan Love, I think, having sat for 3 years behind Aaron Rodgers and developed, I think he's going to be a pretty darn good player in the NFL. To go with two young receivers in Dobbs and Watson, who are popping off in the NFL and who I think will be two phenomenal receivers for the Packers moving forward. So end of an era, obviously. This is similar to, I guess, when Brady left New England and went to Tampa Bay. It'll be difficult to adjust to seeing Aaron Rodgers, not only in the Jets uniform, but wearing number 8, which you said, obviously, he wore during his playing days in college at Cal. All right, some other big news regarding NFL quarterbacks. Former Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts has got himself a new contract, and he is now the highest paid quarterback per annual salary in NFL history, Bama factor. So it's a 5-year deal worth $255 million. And obviously, the $51 million per season is the highest per season payment to any player in NFL history. In terms of fully guaranteed contract, I think he got like $179 million in fully guaranteed.
Yeah, it was up there.
So it was not Deshaun Watson's 5 years fully guaranteed, practically everything guaranteed deal. But had plenty of guarantees for Jalen Hurts. I certainly wouldn't mind $175 million. One thing that I've seen people talk about is how this is going to affect the Lamar Jackson contract discussions, right? Because we've seen Lamar Jackson, oh, he wants a fully guaranteed deal. He wants Deshaun Watson's deal. He wants the amount of guarantees Deshaun Watson had. I don't think that this is going to help Lamar Jackson in the long run. You see Kyler Murray get his new contract. You see Jalen Hurts get his new contract. They don't have the same kind of guarantees that Deshaun Watson had. And Deshaun Watson's guaranteed contract is beginning to look more and more and more like an anomaly. Right, an outlier compared to the rest of the contracts, and Lamar Jackson fighting so hard for this fully guaranteed contract without an agent representing himself. It just seems to me like as more of these quarterbacks get these contracts, because keep in mind, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are both up for contracts soon, and I would expect them to both have new contracts before the start of the season. There are two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And they were in the same draft class as just Jalen Hurts. And who knows what Tua, they picked up the 5th-year option for Tua.
Right.
And if he has a season similar to this past year, minus some of the injuries, I think he will be up for another contract as well. And I just don't see those guys vying so hard for the fully guaranteed contract. Lamar Jackson is not doing himself any favors by dragging this out any longer than it has.
And without an agent, like you were saying.
Yeah. So hopefully Lamar can work something out with the Ravens. Now, if Lamar doesn't, he has been franchise tagged on the non-exclusive franchise tag. So he will play for the Ravens, hopefully. Now, is going to play for the Ravens at like $35 million this year? I don't know. He may abstain from playing. We've seen that happen before. Deshaun Watson did it 2 years ago to send a message that he was going to be traded regardless from the Houston Texans. So that's something to monitor. Obviously, Lamar Jackson's contract remains the biggest question mark in the NFL. In terms of players that already exist in the NFL. I would say the biggest question mark for the NFL coming up, though, this weekend, is the draft. Unfortunately, we are not going to give you a mock draft show tonight. We have too much to talk about in terms of Alabama football. However, starting Thursday night, the student section crew, the full crew, will be doing a live reaction show to the NFL draft. So be sure to tune in Thursday night and Friday night for the full student section crew doing a live reaction. We've got fans from all different kinds of teams.
Experts, excuse me.
People like me and like Bennett who study football like crazy, who are passionate about the NFL, passionate about their teams. They will have all of the inside information that you need to sound like the smartest guy when you are talking with your buddies at the water cooler at work. So be sure to tune in on Thursday and Friday night so you can get all of the live reactions from the full student section crew as they explain all of the picks that come in. So if you're out and about, driving home from work, driving to dinner, and you can't check your phone to get all the updates from your team and who they have selected, be sure to tune in 90.7, the Capstone, and the student section will keep you up to date with every selection on Thursday and Friday night. All right, be sure to stick around after the break because Alabama had their spring game Saturday, and there is a lot that we have to talk about from what we saw in person when we return on the student section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the student section. I'm your host, Aiden McGuirk, joined by Bennett Katz. All right, we are talking about the Alabama A-Day reaction. It was really a beautiful Saturday. I know you got to go in person, as did I. Got to hang out in the North Zone suite, so it was really cool. Got to eat some food, air conditioning.
That, lucky you. It was a hot day.
It was pretty warm. Yeah, I got a little sun kiss, not gonna lie. Probably should have worn some sunscreen, but yeah, got some air conditioning, some complimentary food. For all the fans out there, just a heads up, next year, invest in some tickets for the North Zone or the South Zone. It's the same thing, just different, you know, ends of the field. But invest in some tickets for the clubhouse experience because it was certainly a really nice experience. I will say my family is planning on upgrading next year. We will go ahead and buy one of the skyboxes for the A-Day game. But regardless, it was a beautiful day, a little warm, but it's always a beautiful day when you have Alabama football.
It is. Yeah, you're so right. And I definitely enjoyed seeing Alabama football. It's been too long since we last played. And I definitely think there's a lot that you can take away from an 8A game, but there's also some things that you kind of need to let go. I don't think that you can judge too much just based on one scrimmage. You got a whole rest of the summer to develop these guys, too.
Yeah, that's one thing that us fans probably should keep in mind a little more than we do. But this was a practice. Right, and not only was this a practice, but this was a televised practice on, what was it, ESPN Plus or SEC Network Plus on the ESPN app. And this is a practice that was open to the public. So the offense, schematics, very vanilla. The defense and their schematics, very vanilla. Nothing exciting happening at all. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, you might call in Madden, you know, and I'm talking about like Madden Mobile, not the Madden on the console. So like even more vanilla than what you were thinking. This is nothing advanced. They're trying to hide their best plays. I'm not going to say hide their best players, but you don't want to give away too much, right? Especially when you have a team like Texas coming in week two. Why would you show all of your cards in a spring game, right? So if you were disappointed in the offense or the defense during the spring game, which I don't think a lot of people were disappointed in the defense because defense almost always does better in the spring than the offense because offense is a rhythm, right? You have to have a rhythm with offense and you've only been playing for, what was it, 15 practices that they had? You know?
And the defense probably can start guessing some of the offense's plays, having practiced against them for that long.
Yeah. So offense, we'll start off with the offense. Biggest question, everybody's talking about it, QBs. What does Alabama have at the quarterback position? Obviously, we're about to lose Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young, who has been with the team for 2 years, SEC champion, national champion, right? Led the team to a national championship appearance. So he has been one of the best, if not maybe the best quarterbacks to ever play here at the University of Alabama. Who can fill his shoes, right? you saw Ty Simpson, who is a redshirt freshman, five-star quarterback coming out of high school. You saw Jalen Milroe, who's going into his third year, four-star, highly rated QB out of Texas. And then, of course, you saw the two true freshmen, Eli Holstein and Diller Lonergan, who are both top 10 recruits at 247 Sports. So, Bennett, when you watched the quarterbacks, give me some of your top takeaways from A-Day game. And let's focus for this first section here on Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson, because it does seem like the QB competition is coming down to those two.
I saw a lot of potential. I saw really good flashes of some really good plays that they had, especially the deep balls. I thought a couple great passes, Ty threw, Jalen threw as well. But then you had, for every good play, they had a play where you kind of shook your head. And those are the things they're gonna shake all those wrinkles out during the summer. They're going to get everything fixed, I do believe. It just takes a little bit of time and more practice. And also, I think we've gone from quarterbacks from Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, and Bryce Young for 2 years. It's a little bit unfair to have the same expectations for Ty Simpson and Jalen Milroe. We won a national championship with guys that may not have been as great as the five that I just named. We've won one with Jake Coker. We've won in the past with Greg McElroy. That's no diss at any of those guys. They were really good quarterbacks. It's just more saying how great the past few quarterbacks that we've had. So we're very, very capable of winning with Ty Simpson and Jalen Milroe. Both of those guys are going to improve in the summer, and I think our defense is going to be really improved. We're going to rely more on that as well as the run game. And so I think the negatives that you saw, maybe fans have been complaining about during the spring, I think we need to push that all under the table, let these guys continue to practice, but because I saw a whole lot of potential and a whole lot of great things on Saturday.
Yeah. You know, obviously being a scrimmage, this is touch football, right? So if you're touched, you're down. And I think that really hinders guys like Jalen Milroe especially, but also Ty Simpson, because they're mobile guys. We saw Ty Simpson take off and run a few times in the spring game. The guy's got wheels.
He does.
Now, he's not Jalen Milroe, who might be the fastest dude on the team, but he can run, right? So, you know, when you have quarterbacks who are mobile, but it's touch football, it's like, oh, well, did he really get away from that guy? The dude touched him, and it was a sack. Or the dude touched him, and he was ruled down. But really, in game, would that have been a tackle? So it's hard to know. I think Milroe, with the first team offensive line, Milroe played with the first team offense against the first team defense. And I think he was sacked like 7 to maybe 9 different times. And a lot of that just came from the left tackle position not being where it needs to be against some very good outside linebackers that we'll talk about in a second. If I had to select a guy right now who I feel like has been able to operate the offense the most efficiently of anybody else, I would say it's really got to come down to Ty Simpson.
Ty Simpson, to me, is the guy most likely to win this Green Bay job, win the starting job at the end of fall camp. It just felt like he was able to operate a lot smoother than Jalen Milroe. There were some balls that came out of Milroe's hands that weren't exactly on target. It kind of like came out weird. I'm not a quarterback's coach, but, you know, I can also watch tape and observe. And those were some things that I noticed.
But I also think, I mean, Jalen Milroe, you said he was going against the ones. He had Ty Simpson going against the twos. Not that our twos, you know, aren't also 5 and 4 stars, but I think the ones, you're going against Caleb Downs, who is regarded as one of the highest recruits in the country, and Coach Saban has also said lots of really, really good things about him so far. You got Cooley McKinstry, Terrion Arnold, who's really improved, And then the rotation between Christian Story and Earl Little Jr. all in the defensive backfield. Those are some pretty defensive, pretty good defensive backs to throw against, or pretty tough defensive backs.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, look, it definitely makes a difference when you're going against the first team or the second team. But caveat, Ty Simpson had the second team offensive line. Ty Simpson had second team wide receivers. Ty Simpson had second team tight ends. And you've got guys like Earl Little Jr. who is on the second team defense, right? And we'll talk more about some of these defensive players. But, you know, to me, you had the first team offensive line against the first team defense. You had the first team wide receivers against the first team. So you're projecting these guys are likely going to be the dudes to take the field when we play MTSU at the start of the season. To me, I think that it was more even because it was second team offense on second team defense, first team offense on first team defense. And you really got to see guys like Ja'Cory Brooks against Kool-Aid McKinstry versus Jalen Hale, freshman receiver, versus Kool-Aid McKinstry, which would obviously not be the same level of competition.
Wait, I mean, the Ty Simpson had Burton.
That's a good point. And we are going to talk about that in a second because I thought that was an interesting point to note. But obviously, Ty Simpson and Jalen Milroe are going to continue to battle. Now, if you've been following Alabama football at the level that we have been following Alabama football, you will have seen the rumors coming out of Miami, Florida, that Tyler Van Dyke, the starting quarterback for the Hurricanes, has met with some people like the head coach Mario Cristobal, as well as people from the NIL collective, to talk about potentially entering the transfer portal and what that might mean for his future. And there were a lot of rumors connecting Tyler Van Dyke to Alabama. Now, he has not entered the transfer portal yet, and if he does, I don't know if we would take him. But I encourage the fans to go back and watch Nick Saban's press conference post-spring game on YouTube. I got the sense that if a player of Tyler Van Dyke's caliber, who was regarded two seasons ago as a top 10, top 15 quarterback in college football, if he were to enter the transfer portal, Alabama might be a little more interested in bringing a quarterback out of the transfer portal now than some people may have thought.
And one thing that links us to that quarterback was that, I mean, him and our new offensive coordinator, Tyler Reese, were in contact when he was a recruit and Notre Dame offered him. So there was a relation there. However, I think we're going to roll with our guys. I think we're sticking with either Jalen or Ty, and I'm confident going forward with those two quarterbacks.
Yeah. I would love to see one of those guys be the starter, right? Bringing them out of high school, developing them in our system. But at the end of the day, it's who can provide the greatest opportunity to win. And if Nick Saban, the GOAT, feels like that's a guy in the transfer portal, then you have to trust his judgment. Now, we got two true freshman quarterbacks who played in the spring game as well, Eli Holstein and Dillard Lonergan. Both had their moments where they obviously were true freshmen, right? Mistakes, mental errors, things like that. But they also had some flashes. And I'll say this, Dillard Lonergan looked really good.
He had the best drive of the game.
To me, if you were to ask me which quarterback played the best in the 8A game, it wouldn't be Ty Simpson. It wouldn't be Jalen Milroe. It would be Dillard Lonergan.
Yeah, I agree.
And Dillard Lonergan was a baseball player in high school. He even considered coming to Alabama to do baseball and football. Now, the way it works here at Alabama is we'll recruit those guys and say, yeah, sure, you can do baseball and football, or yeah, sure, you can do basketball and football. That's cool. And then they get here and it's like, no, actually, no, you have to do football because we have Nick Saban and you're going to do football all the time. It happened with Terry Arnold. It happened with Kool-Aid McKinstry. Those guys wanted to play basketball and never really got to.
Fullback a few years ago, or maybe a tight end. I can't remember his name, but I think he was one of the only guys that I can remember that played baseball in football.
Yeah,
it's an outlier.
Baseball and football, you can kind of get away with. Basketball and football, it's a little different. But Dylan Lonergan, you know, being a baseball player, he's got those multiple arm angles, right? He's got like a 90-plus mile an hour fastball, so he's got a really strong arm. I've always found like baseball players tend to have just a more natural throwing motion, right? You think about some of the guys in the NFL who played baseball, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, right? Some of these guys who have just a real great knack for throwing the football with ease. Who's to say at the end of fall camp and summer conditioning and things like that, Dylan Lonergan hasn't played himself into potentially vying for that starting slot? I don't know. But I was certainly encouraged by what I saw from him and Eli Holstein, right? Eli Holstein is a really big-bodied kid. Who's probably like a year younger than me, so naturally I should call him kid right now.
He wears number 10. He looks like Mac Jones.
Yeah, well, he looks like Mac Jones if Mac Jones was, you know, a lot taller and a lot more muscle mass. But anywho, he to me has got more like a Josh Allen type build, and I'm very excited about what he can do. All right, hitting the running backs here before we go to break. Justice Hayes, the true freshman running back wearing number 22 after Najee Harris. That guy is a dude, and he will definitely get into the rotation. I see him as a third downs type back if he can get to where he can block really well. Receiving threat, right? We lose Jahmyr Gibbs, who was our biggest receiving threat. And Jace McClellan can certainly be a very effective receiver, but Justice Hayes looked natural at it.
Yeah,
so
you're not going to be able to keep him off the field. He's just that talented. And one thing Coach Saban has said is when you look at him, he doesn't look like a freshman. And when you talk to him, he doesn't sound like a freshman. He's very mature in the way that he goes about practicing and doing the thing, little things right. And so if he's that way, he's definitely going to see the field like you saw during A-Day. And keep in mind, there's one guy that was not an early enrollee, Richard Young. And he's a five-star as well. So we've got Roydell, Jam Miller, Jace McClellan, Justice Haynes, Richard Young. I'm forgetting other guys as well. It is the stable is as strong as it's ever been. And I just hope that we're able to keep all those running backs here and we don't have anybody transfer out.
Yeah, no, Nick Saban has mentioned that this is definitely a strength of our team. When you talk about Jace McClellan, Roydell Williams, Jam Miller, who I think is going to be a massive contributor for this team. Of course, Justice Hayes and then Richard Young coming in, who will, was he also a five-star? Yeah,
yes.
He was a five-star guy who was coming in the summer with the likes of Keon Keeley and Yanze Pierre, two five-star edge rushers that we're very excited about. This is going to be a fantastic running back room, and I guarantee you we're going to be leaning on the run game a lot this year with a first year starting quarterback. I would expect the team to rush the ball anywhere from 55 to maybe even 60% of the snaps on offense, rotating those guys heavily. I know Nick Saban in the past has really liked a two-back rotation, right? Najee Harris and Brian Robinson Jr. Brian Robinson Jr. and Jace McClellan before he got hurt.
And you can go back the past 10 years. Yeah, Mark Ingram, Trent Richardson,
yeah,
Eddie
yeah.
Lacy, T.J. Yeldon.
Yep.
And it goes back and back.
Damian Harris and Josh Jacobs, right? Josh Jacobs and Najee Harris. So who knows? Maybe it's a Jace McClellan, Roydell Williams show. But I have a feeling because we have four guys on campus right now who are all capable of taking a lot of reps and a guy coming on campus in the summer who very well could contribute, we're going to see a lot of rotation at the running back position. And hey, it'll keep them a little healthy, right? Keep them a little more fresh, not having to wear them down so much.
And the running backs have to be happy. Seth McLaughlin, probably maybe one of the leaders on the team, I think, he had a hat on that said, run the football, run the ball. And so the running backs have to love that.
Yeah. Well, I think there was an expletive in there that you forgot. But
yeah.
we'll save it for the air. All right. Be sure to stick around because we're going to have to blow through every position that we watched in the A-Day game when we return from the break.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to the student section. I'm your host, Aiden McGuirk, joined by Bennett Katz. We are recapping our takeaways from the A-Day game that happened this Saturday, Alabama's spring football scrimmage. Beautiful day, a lot to talk about. We're keeping up with the offense, and we'll go straight to the O-line. I got to say, I think the O-line, at least the first team O-line, did really well, right? The only exception that I saw to that was left tackle. Elijah Pritchett filling in at left tackle for the first team, a guy that we've heard really good things about, but got injured his freshman year last year, and it feels like he's still coming back from that. Now, he's been repping with the first team all spring long, but did not have his best day yesterday, so perhaps he improves over the summer or the fall. But I'll tell you, he's got a guy behind him who is bringing a lot of competitive pressure, and that's true freshman Caden Proctor, who is listed at 6'7", 355 pounds. He is a monster of a true freshman, and he was a starting left tackle for the second team O-line, and I got to say, he locked up his dudes a lot. Obviously, a different caliber of player going against what was really the third team outside linebackers, because first team outside linebackers did not play. So the second team outside linebackers had to run with the first team defense against Elijah Pritchett. So Caden Proctor was not going up against the likes of Keanu Coate or Quandarius Robinson. But he had his dudes locked up most of the time. Guys like Jeremiah Alexander and Quay Rousseau. So that'll be an interesting thing to keep your eye on as Bama fans. J.C. Latham, Tyler Booker, Seth McLaughlin at center, and Darian Dalcourt. Those four guys there will most likely be your starters on the offensive line, and maybe Caden Proctor or Elijah Pritchett joining them. I liked what I saw from the O-line, though. Getting some push. Need more of it. But definitely an improvement from what we experienced really over the last 2 years.
Yeah, and this is the second year under Coach Wolford, and he'll have a lot of these guys for 2 years now, and I think that's a really big deal, having a little bit of continuity there with getting experience with coaching these players. And you talked about it, Caden Proctor. It's going to be difficult to keep him off the field. This freshman class is something special. I think it's going to be similar to one we saw in 2017, and that's way early to say something like that. But from the likes of Caleb Downs and Caden Proctor and Justice Haynes and even the freshman quarterbacks that we saw, I think it has the potential to be one of those classes.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is the highest rated recruiting class in the history of Alabama football, the highest rated recruiting class that Nick Saban has ever signed at Alabama, or even during his time at LSU. Second highest rated recruiting class of all time, right behind that Texas A&M class that they bought a couple years ago. All right, moving on to tight end. Danny Lewis Jr., who I think was like a 3-star recruit that signed during the regular signing period, not early signing day, which is strange because most kids nowadays coming out of high school will sign during that early signing period. He was a late bloomer type guy, and he came in and really has started developing. He looked really, really good as a blocker. He's scrappy. He can get in there and catch some passes in the short yardage situations. I think he might end up being like a better Miller Forrestall from 2020. Amari Black, who is like a Jaleel Billingsley, sort of a Kyle Pitts type tight end. He showed that he can be a very versatile receiving threat for Alabama. Think he maybe get a little cleaner with his hands, a little more confident. And CJ Dupree, the Maryland transfer, certainly looks promising. Looked the part. Didn't do as much blocking as I would have expected, although I think I've seen some people say that's an area that he's still trying to improve on. But obviously Robbie Utes, who I predict will be maybe the most heavily used tight end
right
was not in the spring game. So that's obviously a name that you'll keep an eye out for.
I liked what I saw from Miles Kitzelman as well. I thought he had a pretty good game.
Yeah. We actually see Ty Lockwood, the true freshman tight end, dropped a pass, which is a nice segue into the receivers because there was way too many dropped passes in this A-Day game. We had heard good things about the receiving core all spring long. Great things about Isaiah Bond. Several drop passes, right? Jermaine Burton's coming back. One of the most productive receivers in the SEC. Drop pass, right? Uninspiring performance from the receivers. Then again, vanilla offense, right? You're going up against the likes of Kool-Aid McKinstry and Terrion Arnold, who are really good players in their own right. So it's going to be hard for some of these receivers to break free, which is a good thing because that just means when they're playing on Saturday against corners that are not Kool-Aid or Terrion, it'll be a little bit easier for them. But I saw good things from Kendrick Law, who I think might be an Alabama Deebo Samuel, maybe.
Yeah, number 19. He did look great.
And he is built, man. And then, of course, Malik Benson, the JUCO transfer. Nick Saban talked about him after the game. Great size, great speed, reliable hands.
That very last drive with Jalen Milroe, he was used.
Led the team in receptions after the A-Day game. The one thing to note about that great drive, where I think he put like four passes in that one drive, was against walk-ons.
Right, it was.
So, you know, great drive, but also like against guys who were not on scholarships. So caveat, but still, you got to see sort of what he could be and what we are hoping that he can be. Ja'Cory Brooks, though, to me, is still our most reliable receiver, right?
I like what I saw from Kobe Prentice. I thought his stock is rising.
Kobe Prentice obviously had a lot on his plate last year as a true freshman summer enrollee, not even an early enrollee, and had to start at the slot position due to injuries to like JoJo Earl and Aaron Anderson, who are both transferred out. But one of the biggest things that I noticed, and you mentioned this earlier with the receivers, is Jermaine Burton ran with the second team, right? Malik Benson comes in. Jermaine Burton's a returner, right? He was our starting X receiver, our number one guy, and Malik Benson is running with the first team at the X, not Jermaine Burton. And Nick Saban had talked about Jermaine Burton a couple of times during some of his press conferences this spring, saying he needs to get a little more consistent. He needs to improve some of the discipline in terms of his route running and how accurate he is, how deep he has to go before he makes his cuts. So perhaps Jermaine Burton is not going to see as many snaps this season with the likes of Kendrick Law, with the likes of Malik Benson coming in, and Emmanuel Henderson, who everyone keeps forgetting. He had a long touchdown.
Yeah, 24.
He's a big punt returner, kick returner guy. I think if I had to predict, I would say Emmanuel Henderson Jr. is probably going to be our starting kick returner.
Yeah, talk about somebody fast. He has some wheels.
Stupid fast. Now, the interesting thing is he was the number one rated running back coming out of high school. And Nick Saban actually brought him in. They helped him lose a little bit of weight that he didn't necessarily need because they knew he had a better future as a receiver. They worked with him hard on route running and catching the football. And I think he will have somewhat of a role in terms of a rotational type player in this wide receiver room. And then, of course, you got Shaz Preston, who was a top-rated receiver behind them. You've got guys like Jalen Hale, a five-star receiver who's a true freshman. Cole Adams did not play in this game, but I've heard good things about him. I think he's maybe like a souped-up Slade Bolden, maybe a little faster Slade Bolden.
Yeah, we talked about him a couple shows ago, and he was having a good spring.
And then Jerron Hamilton. I also saw good things from him during this spring game. All right, moving over to the defensive side. Inside linebacker, we saw some really positive things from Jihad Campbell, who is in contention for one of the other starting linebacker positions. Now, it's uncertain right now what's going to happen, right? Deontay Lawson did not play in the spring game. He's still working on recovery from an injury. But Deontay Lawson played a significant amount of snaps last season at the will linebacker position. So we'll see if he continues to play at the will or if he bumps over to the mic, which is the signal caller, which is what Henry To'oto'o has been playing. if the coaching staff believes that he can become the signal caller. Tresman Marshall, transfer from Georgia, noticed that he left the game around the second quarter, headed to the locker room. He's got an injury history, a pretty extensive injury history, so that was not exactly what you want to see if you're an Alabama fan, because he did look very solid during the times that he played there. He is very much in contention for that Mike linebacker position, coming from Georgia, understanding the defense, because Kirby learned what he knows in terms of his defensive prowess from Nick Saban and Kevin Steele, which a lot of people don't realize. Kirby Smart actually worked with Kevin Steele at Florida State, and he worked under Kevin Steele when Kevin Steele was Alabama's defensive coordinator Nick Saban's first year. So Kirby Smart learned a lot of what he knows about defense from Kevin Steele and Nick Saban. Similar defense that we're running here. Justin Jefferson, the JUCO transfer, number one JUCO player on defense. Man, he was flying around. Tons of tackles. I really liked what I saw from him. He's scrappy. He is small. He is significantly smaller than every other inside linebacker that we have, which is slightly concerning. It does seem like maybe he might get in as like a obvious passing down situation kind of guy where he can cover, because he does have good coverage skills for an inside linebacker. But an every down, a three down type linebacker, I'm just not sure that's what Justin Jefferson's cut out for, at least at the SEC level. Keeping it with the linebackers, but bumping to the outside linebackers. No Chris Braswell, no Dallas Turner in this game. Those are going to be your top two edge rushers. We know what we have with those guys. They're going to be amazing. But we saw Quandarius Robinson, who is an older guy who's been in the program for a while, really kind of step up here. Had a very productive day. Was he working with the second team or the first team?
I can't remember exactly, but if it was with the first team, was he going against the left tackle or right?
I believe that he was working with the first team. He is a senior, 6'5", 230 from Birmingham, at that outside linebacker position. So very excited to see maybe he can step up and finally become what a lot of people expected him to become. And then we saw Keanu Cote have a really productive day. Redshirt sophomore, right? 6'4", 230. I think both of those guys might vie for some rotational time.
Jeremiah Alexander.
I don't know why I can't say Jeremiah Alexander tonight, guys. But he also had some really good moments. I feel like not a lot of people talked about him. From what I saw on the field live, it felt like he was disruptive. Quay Rousseau, too, the true freshman out of Carver. Fast. That dude is fast off the edge. Very excited about what he can become. A lot of people predicted him to bump inside to an inside linebacker role. I feel like I was one of the few people who said, no, he'll be an edge guy. He's playing at edge, and he's having a lot of success, so it looks like I'm right. All right, D-line, a lot of experience there, right? You got Godwin, Otis, Smith, Jameel Burrows. But James Smith, the true freshman, has had a very good spring, and I think he might
Another guy from Carver. In.
Yeah, right. Quay Rousseau and James Smith, those kind of like a package deal almost mm-hmm. in their recruitment. Very excited that we landed both of them, because I think both of those guys will be tremendous factors for Alabama.
Who was the guy that we got
future.
From Pike Road, the freshman? I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
That's a good question. You asked me Pike Road. I'm not familiar with Pike Road, but very, very familiar with this defensive line, because we've seen these guys for a while, right? Tim Smith entering, his fourth year now. Jaheim Otis going into his second year. Jameel Burrows, I think, is going to be a tremendous pass-rushing defensive lineman. I wanted to see a little more from the D-line in terms of disruption, but, you also have to consider the fact that they're going up against the likes of Tyler Booker and Darian Dalcourt and Seth McLaughlin, very experienced interior O-linemen. So maybe that's a positive thing to see how well our interior offensive linemen are holding up against what is a very deep defensive line room.
Right. I mean, you're going against the best every single day. And Curtis Perry was the guy that I was thinking of from Pike Road. I think he's also got a tremendous upside, and it's going to be difficult to find a rotation during his freshman year, but that's another one of those guys that we got out of the state of Alabama that I'd like to look forward to seeing on the field.
Yeah. Absolutely. Moving on to defensive backs, Kool-Aid and Terrion are going to be your CBs. It's pretty obvious Kool-Aid will be your first corner and Terrion Arnold will be your second corner. I don't think there's much competition there. Arnold looks a lot better, right? Got beat a lot last year. It feels like he's gaining a better understanding of the position. He was at safety in high school. They bumped him out to corner, and it looks like he is really making the transition nicely. And by the time fall camp ends, I think we're going to have two lockdown corners. I was very pleased with Antonio Kite and Desmond Ricks, Eli Ricks' little brother, who is a true freshman. Antonio Kite from Anniston, Alabama, which is my origins, second-year player.
Yeah, Kite made some good plays out
there. Yeah, very, very pleased with what I saw from both of those guys. I think the future at the cornerback position for Alabama is bright. Maybe even brighter at the safety position, because one of the players that you've mentioned so often here lately, Caleb Downs, looks to be a starter.
Yeah, no, he is flashing all over the field. And while we talked about how great he is in coverage, his tackling ability and how fast he flies to the football is one maybe we haven't seen since the likes of Landon Collins. He's a headhunter back there, and I really hate making comparisons. I know Coach Saban doesn't like those types of things, but he has that potential in him, and I'm looking forward to watching him. And the rest of the safety position, you got Malachi Moore back there. He's going to be the leader on the team back there. Jake Pope made several great tackles. He made the big hit on Jermaine Burton. You probably saw some videos and clips on. Earl Little Jr., talk about maybe the play of the game, that interception that he made against Ty Simpson. I thought that was a touchdown for sure, but he made the diving interception. So the safety position, we got some really good studs back there.
Yeah, not to mention the likes of Christian Story, who has been rotating around and things like that. We've had several guys who play star transfer out. So Malachi Moore played star with the first team defense, but it seems like we know for a fact that he had been practicing at that free safety position, or that Jordan Battle position, and he probably will play there, and Earl Little Jr. might end up being your starting star. I feel bad for Jake Pope because, man, he played like he was worthy of being a starter. The only problem is the dude in front of him is Caleb Downs.
Right.
And Caleb Downs has been receiving Micah Fitzpatrick-level comparisons, and nobody that I have heard of has ever compared any other recruit to Micah Fitzpatrick until now. Josh Downs, for those of you who don't know, it's Caleb Downs' older brother. He is a receiver from North Carolina, deep threat guy who is going in the NFL draft this year. So maybe your favorite team will pick up Caleb Downs' older brother, a very fast deep threat receiver from North Carolina. And that moves us over to the special teams. Like I had mentioned, Emmanuel Henderson Jr. taking a lot of the share of those kickoff returns. Kool-Aid McKinstry is going to be your punt returner. He was arguably the best punt returner in college football last year. He will probably be the punt returner this year, and Emmanuel Henderson Jr. will be your kickoff returner. Will Reichard, coming back for his fifth year, right, of eligibility.
Right, yeah.
He missed a 50-yarder kick.
We're not going to hold it against him.
It's a spring game. We're spring game. We're glad he's back. I will point out, though, having played soccer and being very familiar with what it's like to kick a ball, it is the same type of kick that he missed against Tennessee and the same type of kick that he missed against Texas A&M. He had two misses at A&M, and those were all across his body, right? So you're standing cockeyed, sort of. Looking at the goal, and you have to kick it across your body, almost like you're running to your right, but then you kick it and it has to go left.
So it's on the right hash.
Yeah.
Kicking to the left a little bit.
Exactly. So you're on that far hash and you're having to run to your right and then kick it and curl it into your left. And that is very obviously not a kick that Will Reichert is very comfortable with. And that's something that you can avoid too. All you have to do is just throw the football out to your running back and let him go down on the left hash and they'll move the ball over. So maybe that's something that you see happen in the future, but glad to have Will Reichert back. The punting, a little inconsistent from James Burnup. Had some really nice punts, very nice punts.
And yeah, he was named the most improved freshman.
Yeah, some that were not so great. But still seeing a lot of improvement from really everybody on the team. Very excited about this team this year. Hopefully we can get back to some of the dominance that Alabama football is known for. All right, we are signing off for the last time. So, Bennett, you got anything to say to our listeners?
I don't have a whole lot. Just thanks for tuning in, and roll tide. We'll see y'all next year.
Yep. So, tuning out for the last time this year, I have been your host, Ada McGuirk, on the student section, joined by Bennett Katz. Thank you so much for listening.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.